Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com. Jobs, courses, and all things career.
This is Eye on Careers, the career clinic, charting your next move.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we just heard the story of Osman Sultan, the chief executive officer of Do. And if you missed that, it was really a fascinating interview. You can catch it on our website, DubaiEye1038.com, and just click on the show tab and you click on Eye on Careers and you can get the podcast there. You can also click on demand, and all the podcasts of all our shows are also listed there. But now we have our second guest, who is a real icon and part of one of the, it was supposed to be part of the bedrock of the business community here in Dubai, a man who came in the 1970s before the UAE was even a country, and he stuck his flagpole in the ground and he said, this is where I'm going to make not just my millions, but potentially his billions. He created a conglomerate that has sprawled across the globe and cascades across industries, from construction to chemicals to paints to ship handling. This man is he's just not a businessman. He's a business artist, because he's just creating too much. This is he's on a different level. He's not just managing a business. He's managing an enterprise. And it's a big privilege to have him on the show tonight and sharing some of his insights to success and to making it, and highlighting some of the follies that maybe some of us may fall prey to. But before we start, for those of you who don't know him, let's listen to his background.
This is Eye on Careers. Executive CV.
Mahindra Patel is the managing director of GEAP International. Ranked among the most powerful Indian businessmen in the UAE, Patel has built a multi-billion dirham global empire. He foresaw Dubai's business potential in the early 70s, backed by a century-old family enterprise in his native India, a well-rounded education in law and business, training in engineering. Patel sowed the seeds of a diversified global empire, which has become a reality over the past four decades. Today, the group plays a leading role in steel, food, specialized building materials, including paints and chemicals, in several countries. Patel counts on the support of his son, who is the group executive director, his wife and daughter, in growing the fortunes of the company in the years ahead.
Well, that is one impressive background. Mr. Mahindra Bhai Patel, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you very much.
It's a real pleasure to have you. There's very few individuals like yourself who actually had come here, you know, such a while ago, and really could have the vision that this place is going to be the business hub that we see it becoming today.
It's part of the vision that a businessman should have, and that's what makes him more successful, if he can see in advance what others cannot see, and then he can achieve in advance what others cannot.
I know that when you were younger, I think they took the training wheels off your first bicycle and you rode it straight to a factory and started working and turned it around. I think you've started business at an age when other people didn't even know what business was.
They were probably not even schooling.
Yeah.
And yes, I started it very early. It was 13 years when I started my first business, real business company. And that was very young.
Which business was that?
This was a company which was manufacturing alarm clocks, and that was the first of its kind in India. In those days, watches were not made in India, and this particular enterprise was set up by a Swiss man. Didn't do well. He wanted to get out of the business, and I took it over. And since we took it over, I turned it around probably about a year's time.
You succeeded in the watch business where the Swiss had failed.
In India.
That's quite an accolade. So what were some of the key things you had to change in the business where he was failing that, I don't know, I know this is quite a while ago, maybe it's not.
The first thing was to understand the business strategy. India is a different country. It is totally different than other countries in the world. It has complicated systems, and one need to understand them. And the second thing is a strategy for the business. The business strategy is the most important part of the business in India. And apparently the strategies that they were following were not correct. So all that I did was I changed those strategies to make it more India suitable.
When we look at really your success, I would say, in my humble opinion, the bedrock of it is as a very young age, you had a vision of being a business mogul that you had never abandoned, that you never strayed from, that you, as our last guest, Osman Sultan, CEO of Do, says, a stubbornness in the vision that this is what you're going to be. There was never a drift. You said, I'm going to be a businessman. There's nothing else for you.
Well, that's partly because of the background. I come from a business family, which has been in the business for over 125 years. So business was in our blood. Business is in our blood in the family. And that was a very important part of the business, which once we got into it, and then, of course, there's always a desire to succeed. And that desire is very stubborn desire. And generally, it works very well, very favorably to succeed in the business.
When you look back at your career, what do you see as some of the major milestones in your development, or what were some of the major experiences that really shaped you into becoming a leader, into becoming the businessman that you are today?
The most important milestone was to have correct vision. If there is no vision, there is no future. So the first thing that we always look at from the long-term point of view rather than short-term, and then, of course, you go and find out the opportunities which are available on the long-term basis, follow them up properly, and then I think success should be there.
I mean, so many times you see people with, you know, huge educational backgrounds, fantastic academic pedigree, huge intellectual horsepower, but no vision. And so all of that becomes muted.
Well, one of the most important things, strategies that we had was to make a practical application of the theoretical knowledge that we have learned. Like, we go to the universities, we learn there, we learn a lot of specialized subjects, but to make practical application of those what we have learned in a feasible manner is the most important thing. And that generally is lacking when you say that you have a person who is very highly qualified, but he does not succeed in business because he's unable to apply his theoretical knowledge in a practical manner.
In a sense, doesn't then perception and imagination trumps knowledge?
It does, to an extent, I would say.
You did your education in London, correct?
Yeah, in India and in London, yes.
You could have gone anywhere in the world.
That's
right. What drove you to come to Dubai in the 1970s and say, this is where, I mean, very few people would have that type of vision. I mean, how did you pick Dubai? How did you end up here?
Yeah, the way I ended up here was that I studied in England, and we had, as a family, business operations in various parts of the world, but not in the Middle East. So they wanted someone who will come down to Middle East, stay here and organize it. And I think they found in me the right person, probably thought that I'd be here for a week and run away, but I didn't do that. I came here and I stay put here. And then what you have seen, what we've done in the last 42 years.
It's amazing. A complete, I think you have a palatial home complete with fountains and peacocks, and it's an amazing.
It's a part place of the vision for living.
it's quite something. So it feels like a resort. It doesn't feel like a home.
Thank
it's like
you.
Club Med, Club Patel. I think Resort Patel.
I need the right atmosphere. The right atmosphere to make business decisions.
But at that time in the 1970s, Beirut was the what do they call the Switzerland of the
it
Middle
was
East?
The financial base of the Middle East. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a beautiful place.
And actually, we first went to Beirut. We first went to Lebanon because we wanted to set up a manufacturing plant. And we thought that area was very good because it was very advanced, banking, financial center of the Middle East. And as you said, Switzerland of the Middle East. But we got some kind of a feeling. I don't know how we got it, that there could be problems, having spent a couple of months there, that there may be some problems. So we don't want to take the risk. We like to eliminate the risk as much as possible. That's one of our fundamental things. We can't make it absolutely zero, but we eliminate, try to eliminate it to the maximum possible extent. And therefore, from Beirut, I came down to Dubai and decided to set up the operations in Dubai.
Is that where a lot of business people fail? Because, you know, anybody can, in my humble opinion, can identify an upside. You know, here's the opportunity. Blue widgets aren't sold in country X. Let's go sell blue widgets there. Where they fail is not assessing the risk properly. Is that one of the critical elements?
Assessment of risk is a fundamental thing in business. Very important to assess the risk. And what is the maximum risk that is there, and what's the minimum that you are prepared to take? And a lot of people, they don't take into consideration or they don't assess correctly the extent of risk that they're taking, and therefore may get into trouble from time to time.
Is this the importance of staying in an industry? You know, when we just looked at Usman's story, he's been in telecoms his whole career. So fundamentally, what that gives you is an understanding of the risk. You also, on one hand, yes, you do have a conglomerate, but you're within that construction space. You know, you have a focus of speciality. Does that give you your edge in understanding the risks of the business? And should people who are managing their careers think about it in this thing and be mindful of jumping industries?
Oh, yes. It's very vital that one understands the risk involved in the business, sort of business one wants to go into. Now, construction sector is one sector, but your basic knowledge of business, the basics, as we call them, and one of the most important factors is assessment of risk. And a lot of people do not assess it properly, and therefore they get into trouble, and they find it very difficult to come out of the problems. But if the risk is assessed properly, no one can do it 100% correct. That's impossible. But one can do it to a great extent as a correct assessment. And this is the art of assessment, which is very vital for successful business.
This is the story of Mahendra Bhai Patel, one of the staples of the Dubai business community. He's the founder and group managing director of GEAP International Group and one of the tycoons of the region, listed one of the most powerful Indians in the GCC. We're going to hear more of his story of how to become successful in life, how to run a successful business, and what his lessons were, what lessons learned on his road to the top. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. We just heard from Usman Sultan, the Chief Executive Officer of Do, and one of the big takeaways was his stubbornness to a vision, the importance of having a vision. And now we have Mahendra Bhai Patel, a man who came here in the 1970s, stuck a flagpole in the sand, and built his empire from this region. He has a multi-billion dollar turnover business that transcends various industries, from paints and construction materials and so on. And the first thing he says within 5 minutes of being on the show is the importance of having a vision. You have two tycoons here, both singing the same song, and you have to ask yourself, what separates us from the animals? Imagination. Your ability to imagine a better tomorrow. Imagine the things you can't do today that you will be able to do tomorrow. And so many people, whether you like it or not, you have a vision. Unfortunately, that vision's negative. You wake up in the morning and say, oh, this day's just not going well. You know, the importance of creating that vision for yourself, picturing that person you want to become, not what you want out of life, but who you want to be. We are listening to the story of Mahendra Bhai Patel, and he's giving us his insights in how to make it to the top. Mahendra, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thanks again.
It's exciting to have you here. I mean, going to visit you at your home is just one of the most exciting things I think I've done in 2014. It's amazing. It's like, what's that movie? It's like something out of a movie. It's crazy. You get the fountains and the peacocks.
But it's real. It was real.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, though, is there's so many people who they just, you know, they can't afford the way that they're living. Their leverage, you know, how much leverage do you use? What's your relationship to debt and growth in a business? How should we be thinking about it? How should we be using it?
Okay, very interesting question. Very good question. Now, leverages could be done in different ways. For your business purposes, it's different. For your personal usage, it could be different. In most cases, one should try to avoid leverages for personal acquisition of personal assets like cars and houses and other things. I know it's very common in other parts of the world to buy a house on loan, by loan from the bank, 80%, 90%. And we have seen these things happening in Dubai, and we have heard and seen the practical sad experiences of thousands of people who were heavily leveraged during 2008, 2009, and who got into a very serious problem. So, maybe we are too conservative, or maybe I am over-conservative, but I would desist from borrowing money for anything which is required to be used for personal purposes. Cars, houses, buildings, and others.
I heard in Greece, I don't think they're doing this anymore, but before the crisis, they had a vacation loan. You could take a loan to go on vacation. That's got to be the worst of the worst.
Yeah, but that is all over the world. People do take loans even in America to go for vacation. And the banks are encouraging them to take those loans. The banks, even here, you will see lots of ads here where they encourage you to take loans and go on vacation, have a good vacation. So that's very common. But the point, the most important point is an individual or a company or an organization should look at the way the loan that is taken is to be repaid or can be repaid. If there is a definite plan for repayment, is a virtual guaranteed availability of funds for repayment, then it's fine. But if it is just speculative, it's dangerous, very dangerous.
And isn't that's one of the things that you need as an entrepreneur? If you're going to come out of school, you're going to start your own business, you cannot be having a big debt overhang. And right now, a lot of students, they're taking a car loan, a school loan, a vacation loan maybe even, and they have this huge debt overhang, knocks them out of the game. You can't start your own business. You have to go work for someone else. You have to take that salary and start paying that loan off, and you get locked into a cycle, into an economic prison.
Oh, yes, and that virtually puts an end to your career to an extent, because you only fight for repayment of the loan, and that's too dangerous. That's why, you see, in all these things, what I think is lacking is a discipline to do business, discipline to live your life. If the loan is taken for schooling purposes, it is understandable, because you would then be gaining education which will assist you in repaying the loan. But if the loan is taken for an expensive car when you don't have enough source of income, then it's too dangerous. It's total lack of discipline. And in most cases, it is lack of discipline which virtually make people take loans without realizing the consequences.
Debt, the career killer. Those were your exact, that is your career killer. I think anyone listening out there, you got to move away from this debt. This thing is will shackle you into an economic status that you will not be able to get out of. And then from a business perspective, though, I know you said to me, he goes, Shane, I have over 200 cars in my fleet. I don't have a dime of lease on any one of them. I don't own a dime. I own those vehicles outright.
That's true. Yeah, we as a family, I mean, as a business house, we have been very conservative in borrowing, and therefore we are generally in a situation. Although our operations are pretty large, we are generally in a situation that we could repay all our creditors without overstretching ourselves, and that is at any point of time. And therefore, during the last 40 years that we have been here, we have seen several ups and downs, but we have been able to face them very well without any major problem or any major damage to our business and our organization.
Some businessmen, though, especially people from the West, they'll say, if you're not leveraged, you're not growing fast enough. You're not taking advantage of your growth spurt. You're not optimized. Your company's not optimized if you're not using debt. What do you think about that? Is that a Western business concept that doesn't transcend well, especially in a tax-free environment? Is that a strategy that maybe comes from a tax environment? What's your take on that?
The borrowing or leveraging for business is understandable, so that it is, so long as it is done sensibly and in a realistic way. But knowing exactly how one is going to be able to repay it. So it is very normal to borrow money or leverage money in your own business or in whatever business you want to do. But leveraging it for the assets over which you have no control or which are not necessary is dangerous, too dangerous.
What has been the biggest challenge? I mean, you've taken over so many businesses. You've expanded globally. You know, you've worked from India to Belgium to wherever. I mean, I think you've put your finger in so many pies. What has been the biggest challenge for you, and how did you face it?
You see, the biggest challenge is basically to get the right kind of people. People, a very important part of our business is people. Without them, we cannot run the business. And that's a challenge, and it continues to be the challenge all the time. You get the best people, you pay them, look after them in the most most profitable way for them, and still, at the end of the day, you are not sure if they would stay with you. Motivation is there, salary, payment, everything is there, but in the materialistic world that we are living today, it is difficult to retain people if they wish to go.
And so that's the biggest challenge, is your people go, and then the margins, the net profit walks out the door with them.
Not necessarily, I would say, that a net profit will walk away with them, but it's a question of disturbance in the business, turbulence. You have certain targets you have fixed, you are moving in a certain direction, and then all of a sudden the direction has to be changed because the people have gone or they want to go away. And it's difficult to get replacement immediately. Very difficult.
And sometimes culture, social norms also plays a challenge. I know you acquired a business in Belgium and there was some major challenges there. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was an interesting acquisition and it was a very successful acquisition. We turned it around very well. But as you said, yes, there was a cultural problem there because we were used to deal with people from UAE and other countries on round-the-year basis. When we went there, and then we, of course, we should have known that every year they take 8 weeks or 6 or 8 weeks off fixed time, sometime in July or August. Now, this is something which you are not prepared for because we thought we will change it, do it in a way that some part of the people will continue to work. And they just refused. They said, no, we will not want to work during those holidays. And therefore, it was a major problem. Because we virtually kept everything closed during those 6 weeks, 8 weeks, which was not unthinkable for people like us. Because we have market share worldwide.
They took off for 6 to 8 weeks?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Well, it is a fact.
And so the whole town just closes down?
Absolutely closing down, yeah.
What if the grocery stores are open or something, like what you can't eat?
I guess the grocery stores should be open, but as far as our part of the thing was concerned, we were closed. Yeah.
The grocery man must have been very grumpy. Everyone's gone on vacation, but I don't get to go.
Yeah.
But so what do you do then in that case? I mean, you know, there's certain risks there that you weren't even aware of. All of a sudden, everyone's gone in the summer.
Yes, actually, we should have known about it, and we knew about it, that there are 6 to 8 weeks of vacations in Europe during July and August. But our calculations, to an extent, went wrong, because we thought that we will do it in a way that part of the people will stay over and the other part will go. But they all said that they all had to go at a time. And then it became very difficult for us to keep our commitments that were made. In good faith that we will be running throughout summer. To a great extent, we caused a lot of problems to our customers. In many cases, we lost our customers. And then we had to make a decision whether we should continue with that investment. Although it was profitable, but we saw a risk there. And then slowly we got out of it.
Had to exit.
Yeah.
So do you think that probably one of your saving graces that you never really have been very leveraged? So whenever you get into hot water, you can walk away fairly easily. I mean, nothing more than a bruise or a scrape.
That's absolutely right. Yes. And this is what we have done here in the last 40 years. And we are very happy that we did it that way.
What is it? I think mostly it's a lack of patience for the entrepreneur who over-leverages and he's trying to grow faster than maybe he should or she should.
what I would term it as some sort of a greed to earn money pretty fast, some sort of a greed to develop the business too fast, and some sort of greed to try to match with the people who are doing similar business in a much bigger way. And all these three weaknesses are not conducive to good business.
This is the story of Mahendra Bhai Patel, the founder and group managing director of GEAP International Group, a conglomerate that spans construction, construction materials, paints, chemicals, and ship handling, and so much more. A true Dubai success story that was sprouted here in the 1970s. We're going to hear more on his business philosophies and lessons learned on the top in just a minute. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are listening to the story of Mahendra Bhai Patel, a gentleman who came here before it was even a country. In the 1970s, he put his flagpole in the sand and said, this is where I'm building my empire, where I'm building my business. And today, he's the group managing director of GEAP International, a global conglomerate that spans construction, construction materials, paints, chemicals, ship handling, and so much more. This is a story of Mahendra Bhai Patel. Mahendra, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thanks.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And for those just joining us, Mahendra came from a business family with over 125 years in business. He graduated from London and went out to spread the family business to any corner of the world. And out of that, he picked Dubai in the 1970s. What a call, a play that has really come through for him. And he's talked so far about the importance of having a vision and sticking to it, and then his relationship to equity and debt and growth of a business where he is very debt adverse. He says, on a personal level, debt is a career killer. And don't become a victim of your greed. Don't try to grow faster than you can. Live within your means and be happy with that. And even within his own business, he does not like to leverage for growth. He prefers organically growing over time. Patience is a virtue to this man. And thirdly, talked about the importance of people, but people being crucial to your success. And one of the main challenges during acquisition is that you lose some of your key people. Mahendra Bhai, One of the things is now, you know, that we're looking at is the world is changing at such a fast rate. You know, people are saying that your rate of change within the organization has to be greater than your rate of change in the market, or you go extinct. Nobody wants to be a dinosaur. How do you deal with some of these big changes that we are now seeing that, you know, you cannot accurately tell exactly where your next big threat is coming from? How do you deal with that as a leader of an enterprise?
Okay, change is very vital for survival in business. You cannot continue to do what you were doing 20 or 30 years back today. The change has to be carried out more or less on a day-to-day basis, taking into consideration what is happening around you. In other words, you have to keep up with the rest of the world, all in technology, in management systems, and in everything, in your business policies. So it's very vital to incorporate the changes in your organization from time to time, very time to time, I would say, timely way, and continue to grow your business. But having said that, the basics for the business remain the same. You don't deviate from your basic principles. One of the things that we talked earlier about leveraging, about lack of discipline in business, lack of controls, lack of foresight, lack of vision. You don't contribute these very important and vital factors just to incorporate the change in your business.
And you say, is this some of the, you know, when you say what would be the three biggest follies that you see entrepreneurs fall prey to, would you say this is it? This is lack of discipline, lack of controls, and lack of vision. Those are the three big ones?
Yeah. Lack of vision, lack of discipline. Discipline is very vital, extremely vital in business. And we have seen, and I have seen, people, large companies who have come here and have perished in a way, because there was no discipline in the people they were working for them. And this is what is happening all over the world.
When you use it, there's various different kinds of discipline. Now, are you talking about financial discipline? Or are you talking about, look, I need to get up at 5 a.m. and get this project across the line kind of discipline?
Well, that's one part of it. The business discipline is a must. And when we just talk about business discipline, we talk about finance, very important thing. Management discipline, again, very important. And discipline in controlling, in keeping adequate controls in the whole system, very vital. If there are no controls, there is no discipline. If there is no discipline, there is no business. And if there is no business, it's all over.
So discipline is the crux.
It's the crux of the thing, yeah.
And this is one of the big follies.
And you mentioned about getting up at 5 in the morning. Also, vital, important that you maintain discipline to keep yourself fit. Because unless you're fit, you cannot really handle what you're supposed to handle. So that is also a very important part of the life and discipline and in business. If you're not fit to absolutely fit, it's difficult for you to continue to do business.
If you are focused on achieving peak performance and getting to that apex, that acme, you can't do it if you're not physically fit.
Absolutely.
And so it's part of your executive regime that you need to do this. So many executives, they neglect their health because they feel so committed to their job.
Well, that could be only temporarily, because they wouldn't remain fit for so long. There'll be no job for them to do. So it's very important. Health is extremely important. And that discipline is vital, absolutely vital, to keep fit. And because you to do correct decisions, you need to have sound mind, very fit mind, and you need to have a fit body to do that.
A healthy body, healthy mind. And speaking of people's minds, you know, when you look at your staff or your team or whatever, do people need to be motivated? Some people say good people, they don't need to be motivated. And if you need to be motivating people, maybe you have the wrong people on the company. Other people say, no, we need to nurture people, we need to grow people, we need to invest in people. Which one is it? What's your take on this?
It is important to invest in people. It is extremely important to motivate them. And it is very important to keep them motivated all the time. But in practice, this is very difficult. Because the ambitions of the people, the greed of the people today is so much, because the whole world has become so materialistic that they would not like to stay in one organization if you can find more wages, more salary, more money elsewhere. Sometimes they all look the stability of the company, stability of the job. And that's where they get into trouble from time to time.
What's more motivating, the lash or the carrot?
I think a good combination of the two would be good.
This is keeping the discipline. I mean, you know, you do perform, you reap the rewards. You don't perform, you suffer under the lash.
That's right, yes. If you don't perform, yeah.
You will suffer.
But not suffer in the sense that you get killed.
Well, that's how Rockefeller did it, right? I mean, he literally, and Carnegie, these guys actually shot their employees. You know, there was a couple massacres there. And he burned his competitors to the ground. I mean, those were the good old days. Those days are finished.
I would stay away from that kind of thing. I would stay away.
That's the Wild West. So no, we can't do things like that anymore. But I think there's a certain cadre of individual who doesn't who needs that kind of infrastructure around. Do you feel that?
Yes. You see, there are certain employees who need that kind of infrastructure around, and you need to have that infrastructure for them. But if they don't function under that infrastructure, then of course you have to take measures, appropriate measures, and that would mean that you need to get rid of the people who are not performing.
And that's what Jack Welch did. He said you had to get rid of the bottom 25%. Do you subscribe to that?
I wouldn't say put any percentage on it, but it could be 25, it could be 30, it could be 5. But if the people don't perform, and if they are given enough opportunities and motivation and still fail to perform, I think they have to be shown the door, yes.
Is this one of the challenges of the leader, that on one hand your people are your driver, and on the other hand you have to have a loyalty or commitment to your vision? And sometimes, you know, these pull you in, apart, right? You know, for example, if your own brother is in the business and he's not performing, are you going to be loyal to your vision, or will you be loyal to your brother? Mahindra Bhai Patel, the founder and group managing director of GEAP International, is going to be answering the tough questions right after this break, so stay with us. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are here with Mahindra Bhai Patel, the founder and group managing director of GEAP International, conglomerate that spans construction, paints, chemicals, ship handling. And it all started in 1970s when he came to Dubai and he had a vision. And he fulfilled that vision over the last 44 years, I think it is, if I'm doing my math correct there. Mahindra Bhai, welcome back to Ion Careers.
Thanks once again.
It's really interesting now, the conversation, what we were just talking about is, you know, the commitment. You talk on one hand of the power of a vision, the importance of a vision in a success story, whether you're building a business or your own career. You need to have a vision of where you're going 5, 10, 30, even in your case, 100 years out. You know, there's some businesses that even have a centurion of a vision. But you have to have that. But then it's worth nothing if you don't have loyalty to it. But on the other hand, you say your people are really important. People. Now, what happens when your loyalty to your people conflicts with your vision, or your vision conflicts with the loyalty of the people, i.e. your brother's in the business and he's not performing? What do you do then? And this is a tough spot. What does the business owner do? What should they do?
It's a very delicate situation for the business owner. Extremely delicate because of the relationship involved. Now, a decision has to be made, keeping into mind what is good for business to start with and what is good for your relationship. Also, together, it has to be, both these things have to be looked at very carefully, and a decision has to be made. But if it is felt that the business is going to suffer by retaining the person or the persons who are your close relatives, but who might ultimately cause damage to the business, which means damage to themselves because they are part of the owners of the business. So then the decision has to be made to put them aside in a diplomatic way if possible, and if no other way, then you have to tell them that it was not going to work. And therefore, the tough decision has to be made in the interest of the business. Because if the business interest is not looked after, you are going to create damage to the number of your employees that are working, like we have about 700 people working. 700 families are dependent on us. And for the sake of relationship, we can't allow this company or any of the group companies to suffer just to maintain the relationship. And therefore, a difficult decision, but it has to be made.
So a soft-hearted leader may fall prey to this, and you know, you basically have to be tough as nails to be the front man.
That's right. And it's not easy. It's not easy because your family pressures and many other things to be taken into account, social side of it. It is difficult, but has to be done.
Is it almost a do or die mentality that the entrepreneur has to have, that, you know, I'm going to get this over the hill or I'm going to die doing it?
You got to have that mentality if we want to succeed.
You have to have that mentality.
You have got to have that mentality. It's very important to have that mentality. Because if you don't have that mentality and you're soft, and if you're not sure, then it's difficult to succeed to the extent that you want to succeed.
So what do you look for now when you hire people? Do you look for that killer instinct, that life or death driver? I mean, you've hired so many managers now. You've hired so many general managers, I mean, over decades and decades. What do you look for in that winner?
Look for the integrity of the person, the knowledge, how responsible he is. Very important to know that. And if he is dependable on the long term. Does he have a short-term view for the job, or he has a long-term view for the job? The same thing, does he also have the vision to succeed in this job, or he has a different vision to keep on jumping the jobs. Very difficult to judge, but it's very important to make the right judgment.
So integrity and commitment, loyalty.
Commitment, loyalty, integrity, and yeah.
Some people actually take loyalty over talent. That, you know, if they had a talented individual, candidate A, talented, but a little less loyal, versus a guy who's less talented, but more loyal, that they will take the more loyal candidate.
I think loyalty is very vital in business, very vital, but still not at the cost of technical the knowledge. Knowledge is also important. Your loyalty on its own can take you nowhere, but loyalty together with knowledge could be a success story.
Well, nobody comes on our show without being asked the famous question, what's the secret to your success?
Ion Careers now reveals the secrets to success.
Mahendra Bhai, what's your secret to success?
Vision, integrity, and persuasive nature. Don't give
up. Ion Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com, jobs, courses, and all things career.
Perseverance, tenacity, integrity, and vision. And a lot of people don't even know what integrity is. Because sometimes they say, when you ask them what's integrity, they say, well, honesty. Well, really? Is the bird who fakes a broken wing to save her nest immoral or lacks integrity? You know, I like to define integrity as your values matching your actions. That what you believe, you walk the walk.
Integrity is your values matching your action and your vision.
And at the crux of that is sacrifice, right? You need to sacrifice.
You need to sacrifice to achieve this combination. It's not easy.
And that's where the flaw is. Is most people not willing to sacrifice?
They find it difficult nowadays compared to what it used to be 15, 20 years back when the loyalty was more common and not everybody was looking at money, only money. They were looking at job security. They are looking at many other aspects of things. But now, I think, monetary thing is very important. It's gaining more and more importance because apparently people want to have a better life. They need to spend money. They need to earn more money. And then they don't know where to stop.
I don't know. I mean, there's obviously some information that says that's correct. But what about Encyclopedia Britannica, they just were like a landslide victory dominating the market. They get wiped out by Wikipedia, which is made by professionals for free. I mean, these people were working for free. Now, how do you deal with that as a businessman? I mean, how can you see something like that coming? I mean, there's this new generation, these millennials that are coming up. And do they really care about money? I don't know. I mean, it's maybe this is the last bastion of the old guard that's trading for, 5,000 dirhams more a month here and 10,000 dirhams more a month there. Do you think that the future, this will change this equation, or is it going to get worse? Are we getting more greedy or less?
I think it's not just the money, but the new generation, what you refer to now, and we have now seen with many such instances recently. I don't want to mention them, but where very young people have come up with ideas and out of sheer interest in doing or coming up in life and showing their talent, they do things which are extraordinary. Extraordinary. But money was, of course, one of the considerations, but not the only one.
The audience here wants to know, here's Anna asking, how does Mr. Patel keep himself physically and mentally fit?
Physically, exercise, very important to have a very disciplined life, and that's what keeps me fit.
But you have a walking track around his grounds, which is I don't know how many kilometers as yes. He walks around his property, which is flush with peacock.
I have a running track, I have a cycling track.
And a tennis court.
And a tennis court, yes, and the pool.
And the swimming pool, and a meditation room. And and a few fountains to boot, and a gym to get to work on the polish the guns every once in a
Whenever
while.
Whenever I get time, I try to use it.
Yeah. What's your final advice to anybody out there who wants to get to the next level in either their career or business?
Be disciplined. Have integrity. Have vision. And do your best.
Well, thank you, Mahendrabai. Thank you so much for coming out. It's been a pleasure having you. Hopefully we can have you on again sometime soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was Mahendrabai Patel. He's the group managing director of GEAP International, a man who says the importance of having a vision, a commitment to that vision. He also warned of the dangers of debt. In fact, use the verbiage, debt is a career killer. So many people out there living hand to mouth despite making 60, 70, 80, even 100,000 dirhams plus a month. So you really got to watch out for this with this debt issue. He also mentioned people as being crucial to his success. And then he looked at a lack of discipline, which I think also is very related to the debt issue. A lack of discipline, both in the way you're acting, getting up early, making things happen, but also making sure you have that financial discipline in business, the right controls, and again, coming back to, you know, if you fail, it's usually a lack of discipline, lack of controls, lack of vision. He said, staying fit is also very, very, very crucial to your success. Healthy body, healthy mind. Now, I just want to remind you, we had two individuals on the show tonight, Mahendrabai Patel, who is basically the managing director of GEAP International. We also had Usman Sultan, the chief executive officer of DO, and they both came forward with the number one most important thing, vision. Okay, they both had the same thing. This is not a coincidence. The recipe for success is there. You need to have a vision for yourself. They both mentioned people being there. They both mentioned the importance of sacrificing for your vision. Okay, here's some of the keys to success. I hope you apply them to your own career. I hope you apply them to chasing your dream. This is Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, wishing you luck on getting that next rung in the ladder. Talk to you soon.